Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guidance.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this down track.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot Del H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you have for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Ecom.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the slopes of the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country and in the paranormally active shadow of Mount Rainier, it's Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang.
And here we are, with a throat to clear even, and
da,
we're
da,
back.
Da,
we
da.
Had a, that's it, da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, hopefully we sound a little better. We reconfigured our whole console, and we're broadcasting on Skype for the very first time. Woo-hoo!
Woo! That's right.
Yep, so we have the emergency backup on our regular phone line, so in case we have to back out, but anyway, we've got a whole bunch of folks here on. We've got Southern Lisa. I see Carla. Hello, Carla.
Hello, Carla.
Carla is going to be a special guest here in April. I think April the 11th, right?
April the 11th. She is going to be
yep.
on our show. Yes, she is.
Okay, well, I got her bio, some of her bio, and I'll probably give her a call and talk to her about that in the very near future so we can, and of course, we'll conference. You will be in it, too, Miss Kat.
Yeah.
And you've got snow, and I'm out here walking around mowing the lawns today in 73-degree weather here in
Well, we don't have snow. It snowed temporarily, but...
Oh, it snowed temporarily. Well, I was out here complaining about the heat. It was extremely warm, and it was real nice out. But hey, you know what? We have a pretty good show tonight. We're going to talk about the future of the paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have a guest who got sick on this, so Doug said he'd be listening. His name is Doug Johnson. He's a futurist, and he also happens to be a database instructor who I ran into just about 2 weeks ago. I was in one of his classes, and we got talking. Turns out he's a ghost hunter and a lot of other things and has a lot of interesting insights on what the paranormal is and a lot of experiences. So he's got sinus problems, really bad, and a headache, and I just got that at news at 6:30. So everybody, big shout-out to Doug to get better, and he'll be on, I think, right, probably the show after Carla is all
right.
Scheduled. So we'll do another Future of the Paranormal show, something like that, with him in there. And a real fascinating guy and just a neat person to talk with. So what I did to salvage our show was pulled a bunch of EVPs out and loaded those up, and we're still going to do some future talk. I've got a lot of notes ready for that. Also had a special surprise for those of you who are just still popping in and maybe still getting the blog talk to load up. We did a special edition of our own Cops rendition here. So what do you think, Kat? Should we spring it on them?
I think it's time to pull the old springaroo on our listeners. Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, folks, get ready. We got 2 minutes of prime time, extraordinary paranormal music. I actually mixed some EVPs in with the Cops theme, so why don't we just play that, and I'll finish up a couple of notes while that's going and laugh with you guys, so here goes.
Yay!
What's all it do?
Curious
tell.
Wish
every sun broke home for you. Tell me,
for a Scooby snack? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
You do it for a Scooby snack.
Slow. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
Are there any spiritual entities who wish to speak with us here at the bookstore? If so, please go ahead and hang the street saloon. Hang the street saloon.
GRI is filmed on location by the men and women of Ghost Rider Investigations. All cases are suspect until proven genuine through scientific analysis and testing. I had a good time doing that. I was testing out some of my new mixing software, and I just couldn't resist, so I played around with that. So I hope you guys all like that. Carla seemed to be kind of grooving in on that. And and there's Kathy. Anyway, well, I guess it's that time, Miss Kat, for the news.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. You know what that means. Actually, I did something for that here.
The last time we played Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, I thought I had it loaded today, and I might have just deleted the dang thing. Can you still hear me there, kiddo?
Yes, I can hear you.
You can still hear me? You guys can still hear me? Because I'm
you guys tired. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, can you still hear me? Okay, I'll just wing it. It's time for Ghost Rider Paranormal News. Okay.
News,
right.
You can
use. Okay, I'm going to fire up one thing here while that's going, and we'll read off one of the stories. Okay, what we have here is from Friday, March 27th, we have the Southington ghost story is being made into a movie. This is from station number WTNH, which I have no idea where it's at because I didn't print the page out the way I would like to have. A new horror flick is based on the true story of a family in Southington that lived in what they claimed was a haunted house. Somewhere between where the living look for peace and the dead look to rest peacefully sits a house in Southington that some say has a paranormal past. Little did I know that we would encounter what we would encounter at that house, said John Zaffis, a paranormal researcher. Well, he's pretty well known. Evidently, I'm just going to skip past this, but evidently some sort of movie has been made about this. The story's out on our the link to it is out on our website on the Ghost Rider site. Evidently, they had all kinds of things here: rattling walls, ice cold rooms, voices, foul odors, and demonic apparitions, above all other things, says Zaffis when he encountered it. The only thing he could think of was, I wanted to get the hell out of the house. And for him to say that, I tend to think that would be a good reason to be leaving.
Are you talking about this new movie that just came out?
I heard, and I haven't seen anything else about it.
A Haunting in Connecticut?
Could be it. It didn't say what the name was.
Yes, I did not see the movie, but I've read enough reviews to, yeah.
How bad was it?
Well, you know, yeah, you know, the problem, yeah, exactly, huh? You know, the
yeah,
problem
I could
with,
that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, after you. No,
no
you
I
know,
was
the,
just,
I think the problem with these shows, these movies, is
yeah.
that when you have a something that is, that okay, if I have something in my house that's really going on, and I can really see it, and you come over to my house and you don't see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen, it just means you didn't see it. But I think if you make a movie and you expect a bazillion people to pay $10 a seat to come and see it, you have to blow it somewhat out of proportion. But apparently
oh, yeah,
this
agree.
Movie apparently this movie has been blown so far out of proportion that it's ridiculous. It's not even close to the truth.
Yeah, so Zaphis obviously is just kind of playing along. Is what you're thinking?
I don't. You know what? I'm not going to speculate on that. But I will tell you that the reviews that I have read, the reviews that I have read, and in all fairness, without me actually physically seeing this movie, but knowing the people that wrote these reviews, I would tend to think that I would not want to see this movie in a theater and pay $10 to sit through it.
So in other words, watch it on the Sunday TV shows in about a year or two, and that'll be about it.
Yeah, well, I saw the original, well, not the, of course, not the original, but this particular case was featured on the show A Haunting.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, the one in the mortuary where the guy sees the black-eyed dude and he goes to goes mentally crazy. The two kids are sleeping in the basement and they keep telling their parents, and they keep seeing these things, and their parents think they've lost it. And
I remember that episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
what
that's
this
is
point. Based on. That's the case. So,
wow.
Okay, so back to what I, just if I can just touch on what I was saying. Okay, let's just say that I own this big house, and all this weird stuff starts happening, and I call you, and I say, can you come over and look at this stuff, and nothing happens. Well, if you know me, you might believe that this is really happening. It's just not happening when you're there. But if you're going to sell the story to make a movie out of it, then you're leaving it in the hands of Hollywood, who just are going to, I think they just blew it out of proportion, is from what I understand. It's the movie, for all the hype and for all of the commercials and for all the talking about it, it did not meet it didn't meet the criteria of what people thought it was going to be like.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, I mean, it kind of ties into where we're going tonight with the show. And you know, a lot more of the audience out there are more sophisticated, you know, in this whole topic of the paranormal. And to just put something like that out there, if it's not good, if it's not genuine and believable, it's going to be pretty much rejected, you know? So,
most of us that do paranormal investigations. I mean, come on, how many hours have you spent sitting in a chair staring at a laptop with four camera angles, watching for something to happen? Yeah, it's like fishing. You know, it's just like it's not all glitz and glamour, and things are popping out at you, and you're, you know, being grabbed and touched, and knives are being thrown at you, and these weird faces, and black-eyed people, and, you know, and smoke, and haze, and it's not
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, that's more like going to work, but anyway.
Ouch.
That reminds me a lot of work, as a matter of fact. Anyway, of course, I'm in the rocket launching business, so the smoke and haze and everything kind of fit.
Ooh!
Well, you know, I looked at that and I thought, well, I'll put that on there. And I figured you would say something, and I'm glad you did, because I didn't know the whole story behind that. And I thought,
oh, yeah.
And you were pretty. I knew, I saw the name, and I thought, yeah, she knows some of these people personally, so I'm
I do. But,
I just
you know,
that out.
Okay, so, the other movie, the one that I'm going to compare it to is this movie that came out like a few years ago. It's called 1408. And the ending did not fit the movie itself. Now, we have a hotel here in Seattle that has activity like in the movie 1408, but it's not exact. And we'd certainly like to go down there and investigate it, but we can't get into the hotel in question. So anyways, if you take the activity anywhere, there's nothing, there's no activity anywhere that I can think of that would rival a Hollywood-based special effects movie. So
no,
I think, for me anyways, when I hear of a movie coming out that's based on an actual story, it's nothing like that. What they should say is that it's loosely based. But if they say it's loosely based, they're not going to sell tickets.
Yeah, and they need to have their special effects and to keep people working, and that's the whole thing, you know.
Right.
I know the drill.
So
well,
you pay $10, you go see the movie, it sucked. Oh, well, they still have your $10.
<That's the truth. laughs>
Well, kind of, I mean.
Well,
anyway.
Hey, that said, we've got another story here called Buyer Beware, Was Your Home Once a Crime Scene?
Ooh.
And I'm going to just paraphrase this since I did not print it out. I'm looking far away at it over here. It's basically there's a Minnesota couple that purchased this home, and within days of moving in, they found out that their home had been a murder scene where this man had shot and killed his wife there.
Mm.
And so it turned out that the story, the reason I got interested is it matched on the search terms. Not only for murders and crimes, but for paranormal activity. And there are laws here. I'll read part of it. Laws concerning stigmatized properties, the industry's term to describe homes that have been the scene of a suicide, murder, an AIDS-related death, or even paranormal activity, vary from state to state. And experts advise that homeowners would be opposed to living in a home that was once the scene of a violent crime, that they should do thorough research before making an offer on a property and veer away from relying on brokers to volunteer that information. And so it's, you know, I tend to agree with this. I think it's going to be, when we talk about paranormal of the future, since that's the theme of the show, I do think that you're going to see the rise of, you know, basically businesses that are going to be tied into doing this as sort of an independent thing outside of the real estate and, you know, title company type things. And
you know,
that actually is probably a fairly lucrative business to, you know, just be called in and, you know, pass on a property.
I get called in from a real estate friend of mine calls me in sometimes to do a walkthrough of a house and see if there's any activity in it because I'm a sensitive. But on the other hand, you have some, now I do know this for a purity fact. Sometimes if there's a crime that is committed in a house, a lot of times those records are sealed. And there's no way that you're going to find out that that is actually true unless some neighbor that's lived next door to the place for 50 years comes over there and says, hey, did you know? Or, you know, you hear it by word of mouth, or you see the house on TV and you recognize it when you go
yeah.
to look at it. That's really the only way you're going to find out.
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you what, though, there's actually an opportunity in this, and I tend to think that there will be folks with the proper investigative background and sensitives and that kind of thing all get together, and that actually turns into something. Because how many of these things have you seen on TV where these folks move in to a place and find out after the fact? And
yeah, in fact, there's a couple of houses here in Washington that is exactly like that.
Yeah, and
exactly
we have it
like
here,
that.
Too. So, you know, it just seems to me that given the way the government's going with regulation and everything, I'm sure somebody starting a bunch of these businesses as a chain or something will find themselves under regulation. And how do you regulate psychics, you know, coming in on staff to do walk into the place. I mean, it's there's a certain amount of humor in the whole thing, but at the same time, it's a serious subject. I mean, you know, people get really pretty tense when they walk into a place that's pretty active and stuff's going on, and you know, children are being scared and that kind of thing. So it was interesting to see that out there. Anyway,
well, you'd have to believe me too.
Oh yeah, and
you'd have to believe in my abilities. So.
Well, hey, let's move on to the next item. We've got just real quick something that I watch quite a bit, and a lot of you do too. Sci-Fi Channel is actually changing their name to Sci-Fi. Get this, SYFY, and they're going to change their logo. And it's you know, you talked about typical Hollywood. It's these executives are trying to kind of broaden their horizons with their market, and yet, you know, I don't think they need to do a darn thing to their logo or their name, but they seem to think that's the thing to do to bring in more people. Anyway, it's
I've seen that new logo.
Yeah, it's SYFY, so I don't know. It just seems too catchy to me. Just go back to science fiction and sci-fi. I mean, and you know, Ghost Hunters is on there, everybody that we love, you know. Oh, come on, leave alone.
Well, I think they're just trying to fit in.
Well, they're trying to fit into what? I mean, science fiction is you know, the foundation of, you know, fantasy and all sorts of, you know, modern thought and the creation of new industry and that kind of thing. What could be more active than that? But these guys are trying to make it better. They pick something that's already just, you know, well established that everybody loves, you know.
Maybe their graphics department had a big meeting and went, who can we mess with now?
Yeah, a bunch of people who are not geeks who should not be messing with this, you know. So anyway.
They pulled an all-nighter without any Chinese food and came up with this auspicious design and went, that's it.
Oh, I know. It just didn't make sense to me at all. I just looked at it and went, no. Oh, God. Hey, there's another one. Speaking of things that are coming out in terms of TV, a new television series, and this is kind of a cross between The X-Files, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Moonlighting. Go figure. This is called Warehouse 13. And it's basically, it centers on two FBI agents, Mika and Peter, who work at the government's Warehouse 13, which houses supernatural objects. They are assigned to retrieve missing objects and investigate reports of new ones. And it's classed as a dramatic comedy. Should be out sometime this year. I'm trying to see when they will bring it out. July. So it should come out in July. And it will be on the Sci-Fi, S-Y-F-Y channel. Anyway, it will be...
the other white meat, right?
I just want to go... I want to fly down to Los Angeles and slug the guy who came up with that. You know, just don't mess with my little flying saucer. I don't want
Let's
my
go.
Flying saucer here. I like it. I like my flying saucer, damn it. So anyway, don't mess with my saucer, dude. I mean, I love my UFO on TV there. Well, anyway, we're coming up on the break here, but you know, I really wish we'd had Doug on, but I know how he's feeling. The poor guy's hurting, so I hope he's listening out there. Anyway, we're going to what we'll do for this whole thing is talk the future up about where we're going. We're going to ask that anyone who wants to call in and maybe share their thoughts with us about the future of the paranormal. You know, get on the chat line at 646-478-0377, and it's Captain Me wing it here tonight. I've also loaded a bunch of EVPs up, and we'll probably go ahead and take maybe about half the show from this point on, and we'll talk some of those EVPs up and talk about cases that that I was on when we did these, and play it back and forth, and just kind of laugh and joke, and then just go from there. So with that said... I think we can do this now. We'll go ahead and take our break and our, you know what that means. Say it, Kat.
Go pee.
Yep. Go pee. Everybody go pee. Get their stuff. Go to the fridge. And for those who want to listen, I've got a funny song on. So dedicated to the future. What's that?
Nothing is going to beat that Bigfoot song. I laughed so hard. I thought it was going to die.
Well, let me tell you what. I'm going to break you right now.
No.
So here it comes. It's all about Yoda, baby.
Oh,
here it goes.
No.
Here it goes.
I met them in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. F-O-D-A soda. I saw the little wren sitting there on a log. I asked him his name, and in a raspy voice he said Yoda. Y-O-D-A Yoda. Yo-yo.
I loved doing that. Of a watch time here under the sunny smogberry trees in Shingle Springs, California, and under the shadow of Mount Rainier in Puyallup, Washington. It's Yoda.
Yo, 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 Yoda.
There's nothing more gratifying to me than the picking the songs for you guys on this show.
You just want to hear me snort. That's
it. I knew. I was sitting there thinking you were going to bring this up, and I thought, you know, I am going to get her throat. I'm going to put this thing on. So I've got a couple more tonight, but we'll play those, and we'll have Carla go, oh, goodness gracious me. Oh, I want to get some new depends. Oh, yes, it was marvelous to listen to Yoda. Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, Carla.
I've got to go get some EVPs. I'll call the ghost close to me. I
I have to wear some funny clothes and sit here with a strange device and then show your leg to bring the ghosts in. I'm so sexy. Ooh, I'm so sexy.
Carl is sitting there dying. She's saying stop.
Oh, no, Carla. Oh, God, no. No. I'm all fishnet and stockings for this EVP outing. Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Yeah, please stop.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, back in your bottle. All right.
Oh, God. Well, anyway.
I got a show to do, and I can't stop. Oh, no.
Shall we discuss quantum physics now?
It's going to be damn well impossible at this point. The future. Okay, we'll try it. Hey, goodness gracious, the future. Yeah.
Carla's future lies in depends. That's all there is to it.
Oh, it's terrible when you lie and use depends. It just doesn't work at all. They don't soak up like diapers do. Oh, goodness. I just can't stop tonight. I don't know what's happening. I'm starting to change. Oh, God. Anyway. Cat, let's talk about the future. Let's talk the future. Future.
Well, you know, I was talking to you the other day about my theory. As far as you asked me about the future of ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And
okay,
I was talking to you about the techniques that I thought would be not only relevant but viable to the future of gathering this evidence, which to me would be now I've always had this theory that may tie in with the future of lasers.
Yeah.
And lasers, I am going to say, I would be curious if these spirits or ghosts, if they are attracted to the light or if they are attracted to the heat. Because lasers put off an enormous amount of heat. There they can.
Yeah, in a vacuum.
If they're intense enough.
Yeah, they'll only to clarify that, a laser in a vacuum will not do that. It carries a lot of energy. It'll only just create heat when it comes into contact with either air or some gas, or when it collides with an object and it's reacting, it's imparting energy to that. So just wanted to add that in. That's the science moment for the show, folks.
Well,
anyway,
and there's also the real possibility here in the next, well, I know it's already been invented and it's already happening, but it's not really available to the public because it would just be way too expensive, is to turn on your television set, but your television set is in the middle of the room like a hologram, kind of like on Star Wars. And I would be curious if you could create yourself into a hologram and put your image in the middle of a room, if you would attract these spirits, maybe just to be curious as to, because it's not really a person, it's an image. And I would be curious if it would spark some other types of reactions from these spirits, if you could introduce them to these holograms.
Well, that was funny because I was looking at something maybe it's along the same lines of like an artificial ghost, where we get good enough at understanding how these things actually work to be able to create one for ourselves. And I don't know quite the technology that would do that at this point, but it seems to me that the ghosts are some sort of electrical pattern, and if we have the ability to be able to replicate that and sustain it in some sort of organized form, then technically you would have something approaching a ghost that could go through walls and move through things and do everything that a ghost would do. And if that were to happen, it's not only the paranormal aspects of it, but think about the defense and privacy issues. Somebody be able to, walk through a wall and come in and look at what you're doing and not be seen,
Right.
Unless they wanted to be seen. So, that's entirely in the realm of possibility. And matter of fact, the CIA in the 1970s had done some work, I think, with Uri Geller and other folks, where they were doing the remote viewing experiments. And a lot of that, the thought about that kind of thing has already been done, and it's just a matter of the technology catching up if it hasn't already been done.
Right.
So, yeah. But anyway, keep going with where you were going with this, because I'll just tie in with things that I had here in notes. So.
Well, the possibilities of now, you'd also have to realize that these, just kind of like when, you know, when microwaves first were invented, they were huge and they were like $600. Now they're small and they're about $30. But some, I think some technology would never be within reason to bring to an investigation and actually set up like a hologram. I don't think that you could formulate something small enough and be able to use it remotely, like run it on batteries or even an ion processor, because that would be a different type of energy. So if you had a television set, let's just say we're like 20 years in the future right here, and you have a and you're watching television, but there's actually the newscaster looks like he's sitting in your living room behind his desk talking to you. You couldn't take that apparatus out of your house and set it up in a vacant warehouse, because I don't think it would work.
No, but I do think that given the way that nanotechnology and the way that electronics is moving, that's not entirely too far out into the future that could happen.
How expensive do you think that would be, though? I mean,
well, there's something called Moore's Law, and Moore's Law is a very often quoted metric for talking about how computing power doubles every 18 months, and the cost of that same technology goes down by half. And so that actually extrapolates well into the future, well into this century, before it actually hits some limits of physics where, you know, we run into quantum limitations. And so it is possible for these kinds of electronics to be available in 20 years that will be incredibly lightweight, take almost no power or flyweight power, easily deployed. And that's kind of what I see happening with a lot of the devices that we're using. For example, one that I really had thought about, you know, what would it be like in the future for this, would be glasses that are basically as cheap as sunglasses that you put on and you can see in the night, which, you know, the military invented that. But I'm looking at it from the thermal camera aspect, the ability to look in thermal, just like what you see on all the TV shows with thermal cameras where you're seeing in multiple colors and other wavelengths, that kind of thing. These things are going to be cheap. You know, right now, what are you spending? $3,000 for the cheapest variety of these, you know, for the FLIRs. And you get into, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 for the really good stuff.
Right.
I think that's going to get down to just, you know, nothing.
Are you talking almost like a zero lux type glasses?
Well, not so, you know, all of these things don't have, quote, zero lux, but that's a nice term for it. It's almost no light. But
zero lux is a like a Sony Handycam that has zero lux. I guess,
yeah,
maybe
they,
you could, you know, modify it from there, I guess.
Yeah, it's what it is, for example, I have, you know, my mother has night blindness, and one of the things
mm-hmm.
that I've been really watching for and looking hard for is a set of glasses that she could put on to go driving at night. And it's a real problem because, you know, I mean, you know the drill with my father, you know, having had his seizures and strokes and
right.
things.
Right.
And so if I'm not around, she's got a real problem, you know, getting to the hospital to deal with, you know, what she has to deal with. So, you know, I've always got the phone handy, and I'd like to have it so she had the ability to drive in the night. And so you're always looking for these technologies to come out, and this stuff is on the boards. But I tend to think for ghost hunting, it's going to come in really handy because the ability to see these figures that, you know, for example, you do see on Taps and you do see on Ghost Adventures, some of the other shows. This stuff's, you know, really handy to have in investigations. It's just prohibitively expensive, and I don't understand why it's so expensive for these devices when you can go down and get cheap cameras right now, digital SLRs, Nikons for $500, that kind of thing. But I do believe that it will get to the point where it'll be like cheap sunglasses. They'll have a supercomputer built into the frame, one sensor, a CCD chip that'll pick up everything, and you just slip them on, and now you can see everything in multiple wavelengths, and you just press a button on the side, and off you go. And you would be able to see things that you hadn't seen before.
Where's that guy? Is he in England or? I think he's either in England or Sweden or Finland somewhere. He's blind in one eye, and they actually his eyelid is shut, and there's actually a little like a camera on his eyelid, and he can see out of it.
Yeah, matter of fact, there's been a lot of development in that area where folks are having neural nets implanted in the back of the brain, and these things come out into a plug that are at the base of the skull or the side of the skull, where then a camera can plug in and be able to give them sight. And some of these cables are being run subcutaneously along the side of the skull and then into the back
right.
of the eye, and then these folks.
Now, because I know they do that with hearing.
Uh huh. Yeah. I mean, Rush Limbaugh has that. He has the that extremely expensive artificial ear cochlear implant.
Right.
And, it's usually successful for him, but he paid the bucks for that thing, But that kind of stuff is going to be nothing in the future. It'll be cheap. And I just see a lot of folks that have limitations being helped by it, but also us, we who hunt ghosts are going to find this. And I tend to think that the future will also bring the fact that once these people are buying these things and starting to see stuff that they hadn't seen before, they're going to be coming to us and asking us a lot of questions, because imagine the person who buys those sunglasses and then figures out, why am I seeing, human shapes that aren't there when I take them off, So
that's like the future of ghost hunting. To another point that I wanted to make, now that we're on the subject of glasses, is I would love to have a pair of glasses like they wear on that movie 13 Ghosts. That would rule.
I never saw that. Tell me about it.
You've never seen 13 Ghosts?
Nope.
Okay. In the movie 13 Ghosts, there are a pair of glasses, and they look almost like a pair of gargoyles. And you put them on, and once you put them on, you can see these 13 ghosts. If you take them off, you can't see them. If you put them on, you can.
Okay.
So what you need to do is jump on Hulu and go watch 13 Ghosts. And you'll see the
Hulu.
Glasses that I'm talking about.
Okay, and I'll turn my brain to mush while I'm at it, so... Anyway,
listen.
Big commercial.
Yeah, but these, I know that, now Keith Age has a special pair of glasses, and I believe they're red. And if you put them on, apparently you can see better or more clear, maybe like, correct me if I'm wrong, like shadow people and stuff. But so I do know that, I understand what you're saying about the technology being close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would be so cool if you could set up, like I say, like a, okay, I'm envisioning like a round dish-like thing that you set on the ground and you hit it and this spectrum comes up and there's like there's a guy reading the news. It looks like he's sitting in your living room. So if you could make this specter into like a pre-recorded image of maybe you standing there with a recorder asking these spirits if they can see you, if they can hear you, do they have anything that they want to say, do they know who the president is, all the standard questions, and you could actually leave the room and view it from a remote location to where there's no actual human. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's not actually a human being standing in the room, it's just a hologram.
Yeah, almost like a doppelganger type thing where you're just
yeah.
it's a copy of you, and you're just, and you do, not only do you do it one place, but you could conceivably, if these are cheap enough, you just deploy them all sorts of places.
Sure.
And then get interactions and then pull all that back in. That's actually a good idea.
I like that. Because that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's what the whole point of the show is. We're just kind of, you know, reaching out and doing some, you know, thinking into realms that we otherwise wouldn't. By the way, I'm going to just take a moment and let's do our, I'm looking for this. I don't think, actually, I was going to do station ident in the pre-recorded mode, but I don't think I uploaded the 20 sec. Oh, I do have it. Okay, just a sec. We're going to play our station identifier.
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
Sorry, I'm following formatics, which is the radio term for, hey, every so often, let them know who you are, you know? Okay.
What comes to my mind when I hear that? A funeral parlor.
Actually, that was Halo. My favorite game of all time is Halo. I love nothing more than a BFG and to kill a lot of Covenant, man. It's just,
the Master Chief.
Master Chief. I love killing stuff.
I know all about you and that damn Halo.
Yep. So anyway, Master Chief and the Mustang. So, well, hey, you know, I mean, I like that idea that you had. The ability to take and maximize your presence, you know, literally have one investigator becomes many. That's actually a really neat idea. I do think that the era of three-dimensional television is here, and we're starting to see more and more headlines to that effect.
It is here, but it's very expensive.
It will go down just like every other technology that's introduced. We just wait 2 to 3 years, and boom, it gets down to a price you begin to see it at Best Buy. So,
I don't know.
But, I do think, though, that there's another area that's going to improve is the whole bit of sensing technology, where we have right now what we're using are EMF meters, and we play the same games with picking up what we feel to be electric fields or magnetic fields with simple coil-based devices. That's all they are, is a coil and a little bit of circuitry, and then a little meter that'll show you how much of a field is there, and it's calibrated. The other thing we have that's our real workhorse in this particular time, day and age, is the digital recorders. And we don't even have a real good theory as to how ghosts and spirits actually interact and use that particular device, how they actually physically connect to the recorder, if they do that, and interact with it to get their voice on tape. We don't know how that happens.
Well, there's a theory... It's just a theory that the range, the voice, if you will, the voice range that it takes to get your voice onto recorder is so low that you can actually pick up a spirit voice, that because they're in that range.
So they would have a field then that they could, if you're within the field, it affects the recorder as just as a byproduct of being there.
Right.
But what we don't know and what we think we know is that the microphone has a coil in it, and that has a diaphragm attached to it. And as it vibrates, that's how our voice, uses sound waves and sound pressure to actually create the illusion that at your end that you're hearing me. It's just a reconstruction model. So what's happening that we think is that ghosts are electrical in nature themselves, and have the ability to simulate that. And though we can't hear them most of the time, that's exactly what's happening. They're just bypassing the diaphragm, and they're just going straight to the coil and manipulating that somehow. And they may not even realize they're doing it, which is the interesting part. So our electronics are kind of happening to pick this up. And the part I'm looking at is in the future that we begin to look at the recorders that are working the best. And if we can figure out which ones work the best, we may come up with a particular line of specifically for EVP like optimized recorders. So I think that the researcher of the future is going to be looking at highly specialized devices that are going to be really geared to really professional work with this kind of thing. Right now, I mean, you go out there and you can see, you know, Sony has a line of them, Olympus, and a number of other vendors, and I'm plugging them already here. But that's pretty much the limit of what you have out there, except for some of the broadcast units that you can get out on, like Amazon. I can't remember the name, but they're in the $150 to $300 range, or the studio recording digital audio recorders, which do some really interesting things, like you have four microphones, and you can tell what direction an EVP came from. So it implies
What kind of microphone is that that Zach had on Ghost Adventures? Is it a lithium microphone?
Well, yeah, they're using a gold beryllium type.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say something about beryllium just as a side product here. Being in the rocket business, beryllium's a really badass thing to be messing with. Hopefully, it's stable.
Is it radioactive?
Well, I just wouldn't, knowing all the guys who worked with it are all dead now, I just don't think I don't think I'd be messing with beryllium in any form. But anyway, that said, if they found a way to stabilize it, that's great. And it obviously has some practical purpose being used as a microphone element of some sort. I have no idea what would cause it to be more effective, but it sounds impressive. I mean, I've heard it twice on television that this is being used and people have it out, and here's this really funky looking attachment on a standard digital recorder. But I don't know. I mean, what do you know about it?
Oh, about the beryllium recorders?
Yeah.
Well, they seem to, from the way that, I mean, I've never been around them, but from what I've heard of them being described as, is they're because of what they're made of, they're magnetic. And so people, of course, everybody has a different opinion. So people are basing getting a ghost to talk to you into a microphone on their attraction to magnetic energy. Because people use the EMF meters, which I don't have any problem with EMF meters. I think that they're a viable resource for ghost hunting. But you shouldn't narrow it down to that and use these beryllium microphones, if they're dangerous, as you say, just because they're based on some kind of magnetic pull, that they might give you more of a chance of picking up an EVP, whereas a standard digital recorder would work just fine. So if you're standing in a really quiet warehouse and it's haunted and you know it's haunted, or a mansion, and there's no external sound to get in your way, you're going to pick up these Class A EVPs no matter, I mean, if they're there, no matter what you're really using. But if you're outside, you always run the risk of a car going by, or a train going by, or a plane flying overhead, or somebody talking.
That's true.
So it wouldn't really matter if you had this beryllium microphone, but if you say that it's an unstable material, you wouldn't catch me holding one.
Well, I kind of brought that up in jest, but the truth is that there were programs back in the 60s and 70s where beryllium was used as a additive and propellant. And when
it was burned,
it was extremely energetic stuff, and it did a lot of... It was a real messy thing to have, let's just say that. So they quit working with it because of all the guys it hurt. And, there was a lot of things that happened in the Cold War that is just now coming to light. And that was one of those things that I became aware of over the years, as some of the older guys would talk about it. But obviously, I'm sure that they've stabilized it. They've got it in some form that it's okay to work with. But still, you bring up a good point. Most of the time when we go out on investigations, we're taking a few simple things with us, and we're going to places that are either noise filled or they are going to be, the conditions are unknown. And we'll take the best spread of gear we have with us to be able to go out and do our thing and then come back.
Well, you know, me and you walked around those cemeteries. We even walked in downtown Placerville, and we got like 30 Class A EVPs.
Yeah, we did great. And, you know, so it's a matter of where, how to make it so the average gumshoe get out there and, you know, get evidence, EVP and paranormal researcher can go out and do just a little bit better, and maybe to make the equipment a little bit better. And that's what I think that you could get into the real exotic stuff, and it's really showy, and it looks cool, and maybe it does get some great evidence. But I think the things that, like the wearable glasses idea with FLIR
mm-hmm.
for $3, where it's a cheap thing and everybody has it. Hey, you know, that's going to make a big difference. What I'm talking about paranormal of the future, I'm talking about that sort of technology, stuff that everybody will be able to afford. Will be compelling to use and will make a difference, you know, in a positive way. The other thing is going to be real-time communication with ghosts, you know, and you and I have talked about this before with the, you know, the inexpensive earpieces that look like those little cell phone doodads.
The Bluetooth?
Yeah, and so it's the Bluetooth headset type deal, but instead what that really is, it's a, it'll be like a little inexpensive computer that will pick up and isolate, spirit voices, for, you know, lack of a better term, and lock in on those and find the frequency to hone in on and actually get it where you can speak live with this entity. And I do think that that's going to be something that's going to be very much possible. You know, give it 20 years, those kinds of, you know, supercomputer capabilities and an understanding of the physics of this kind of thing will be there. So,
you know, if along the lines of what you're talking about with that thing in your ear, you'd have to make that almost foolproof to where, let's just say you marketed something like that as a device of the future, and somebody was wearing it in their ear, and something happened to them as a result of that, you know, they're just going to sue you.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you made something like that, would it have to be magnetized? Would it have to, you know, there's all this talk right now about cell phones causing brain cancer or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
I see what you're saying. Well, you know what? We all live, we all die. My attitude is life causes death. If it seems like it's a reasonable technology and it's not going to kill me for, you know, but 100 years later, okay, I can deal with it. I'm not going to be around anyway to worry about it. But I know what you mean. It's a litigious society, and that's just the way things are. But honestly, I think that the proliferation of electronic, you know, devices and the way they're going and all the different things we can get that, you know, 10 years ago we never imagined we'd have these things, and now how do you live without it?
Right.
I just think that's going to happen for us. So the number of specialty items for the paranormal investigator are going to go up, not down. And we're going to have this tremendous array of choices to make about what we do. And, you know, personally, I like to keep it simple. When I get out in the field and I do, like a large investigation like we did last week, where, you know, I had four investigators in a private home and we got some really great results. We were using the basics, you know. I did bring the IR cameras and, you know, set those up with a digital video recorder. And that was about as exotic as it got, but most of our evidence was EVP, you know, good old standard recorders, and everybody had their own preference and brand, and everybody did well. So we're going to play a couple of those tonight, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and, you know, I see Carla's in the chat room, and she says a lot of people are getting more interested in the paranormal, and along that line, I'd like to ask you, so along those lines, what I'm trying to say, and I think is the same thing that you're trying to say, is I'd like to find some kind of device that a lot of people can afford and get them interested in the paranormal.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
get them into, I mean, you see these shows like TAPS, and they have these, you know, $7,000 to $14,000 FLIRs, and they're walking around. Well, you can't afford that, but if you could get something simple that's easy to use and will produce results, more people will get involved in this field.
Yeah, and right now it's really inexpensive to get in now, but imagine something with some amazing, you know, capabilities that go way beyond what we have now. I think we're about there. And speaking of that, we're at our second show break. So let's see what I can pull out of my hat this time and have something cool. And I can't here's the part that's terrible. I can't remember which of these did what. I named them, and now I don't have my other computer with me that has the notes for them. So I'm gonna do what's called break X2 theme or something like that. Break 2X theme. And if I don't like it, I'll stop it, and we'll go to the next one.
Oh, great.
Hey, I'm the show host. It's my show. I can do this. You know, I mean, I'm going to just play it and see what happens.
Oh,
all right,
I
here we
see.
Go. Well, it's our show. All right.
I'm just a sidekick. I understand that.
And it's Carla's show, too. It's the Depends Hour. So, okay.
Oh, Carla.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, let me see if this is a good one. If not, it'll stop, and I'll go to the next one. Okay, I didn't like that. The heck with that. That was boring. Let me try this one.
Oh, sorry.
What do we do now?
What?
We've established that caca, caca, and tookie, tookie don't work.
Right.
Sorry. All right. What do you say, Ira? Pack it in?
You are so beautiful to me.
Step back, Harry. I'm going to shoot him.
No, stand down. I'm going to kill this one myself.
Give me a chance. I'm communicating here.
You are so beautiful to me.
Wayne, would you please stop because you are embarrassing me.
Can't you see you're every... You're every hope.
Yeah, sing, sing, rub some funk on it.
And you're everything I need.
Here he comes. You grab the girl, I'm gonna get the bird.
Got it.
You are so beautiful to me. To me.
God, you gotta love hunters.
Lightly or dark.
You know, you'll never forget the cocking of a shotgun, that's for sure.
Stand straight, Pilgrim. Here it comes.
Dead now. Yep.
Now, this is my kind of music. Ghost hunting. For ghosts in the night. To tell the spirits, go to the light.
Somebody was taking the picture and playing with the EVPs, and suddenly John turned around and said, oh my God, there it is!
goes the white guy.
John.
Hello, Parker's Finishes. Oh, I've got more depends to give out to the whole audience. Oh, goodness gracious me.
John, what happened to that?
Well, that was the one I wanted to play. It was from the movie Evolution, as a matter of fact. It was great. It's a great scene, but yeah, those.
I heard
really
a shotgun blast.
Yeah, they kicked that thing's ass. That's what they did, man. Yeah. I mean, aliens come here to Arizona and mess with our stuff. Hey, you know, I mean, they've got to deal with these guys. Ira, yeah.
Play that funky music, white guy.
Yeah. Yeah, white guy. I'm so Caucasian.
Yeah, that would be true.
Oh, no. Oh, Carla El. What is this? Carla El Poo? That's her name in the chat room. Carla
El Poo, yeah.
El Poo, I see you. It's so nice to see you here. I want you to know, I love it when you do that. You do that on my chat room. No. Keep doing that. Oh, yeah.
Carla.
OMG. I was actually in a class the other day learning computer stuff, and we had this really experienced trainer and really nice gal, you know, 45-ish, you know, knows her stuff, real dressed in the full business attire, except you just never could know what she was going to do because she always, like, talked like this, and she would go, OMG, you know, like, dude, you know, you can't be doing it that way. We have to change the code to do this, and you could not take her seriously for 1 minute. I had a week of that. So anyway. That's it. I digress briefly. Let's look at some of our EVPs. Hey, you know, we were up in Pilot Hill, and we did a pre-investigation. And what it was with this particular case, we had some friends of the family who were complaining about cold spots in their home. And I'd been there once before and had felt something there, but didn't say much about it. And we were contacted by them because they were interested and knew that I did this kind of thing and asked us if we would come out. So I brought the team, and there were three of us on the first day, and we went in and just did basically a baseline walk through the home. Very unusual home, and the way it's constructed, it has it's one section of it is kind of like a big longhouse type of affair, and when you get to the far end of it, it splits off into two giant octagons that are kind of merged. And at the very point where the two merge is where this paranormal activity is taking place. And you walk in there and you feel it. And you feel it, like, really intense. It's just the strangest thing. When we did the investigation the first night, we got a couple of EVPs. And I came back and I called up the owner and said, yeah, we got some evidence, but I'm not going to tell you much more. But we surely will be out tomorrow. So we went back, and we ended up getting just a boatload of EVPs out of this place. And not only that, you know, I'm still going through the video evidence, but there were some strange things we caught on video, especially down in one section of the home where I was actually physically touched. And it was extremely, extremely cold to my right. And the EVP we got was a guy. It was in a shop area of the home that goes down this winding staircase. And I was sitting there, and this thing actually touched me, and the EVP I got was, it said, this is Moe's shop. So this guy named Moe didn't like me there. And that said, let me go ahead and scroll down here, and let's pull. The first one we got was from the first day, and I'm not sure this is going to play well for you guys, but I'm going to try it.
Okay.
Basically, it was the pre-investigation EVPs, and it's a spirit saying they're coming here to bother us. So let me see if we can make that happen. Did you hear that?
Play it again, will you?
Yeah, let me try it again. Oh, come on. Yeah, it's It's one of those EVPs that you get that's got the kind of the scratchy voice, and you play it, mm-hmm. You'll hear it, and it was definitely there. It was saying that, you know, that they didn't want us to bother them, and sure enough, you know, there was a section of the house though that we didn't think we were going to get any EVP activity, and when we came back, we were very surprised to find that we had in the longhouse section where you didn't feel much. We had a woman's voice crying for help. And this one says, Papa, Papa, help. And I think you'll hear this. So let's go ahead and try this. You hear that?
Oh, man.
Yeah. And we got that one several times. It was extremely clear. There were a number of different versions of the same thing. Evidently, this particular spirit is wanting help and frequents that one area. We didn't get any of her voice in the other parts of the home. Mostly male energies in the other part of the house. The owner, his wife, is actually a sensitive herself, and she sees apparitions in there. And so we did put trained video on the spots where she pointed out. So we're going to definitely be doing some repeat visits to this place because it's just so full of activity. And it's in Pilot Hill, not far, of all places, from Bailey House, which we've talked about in the past. It's about a mile from the Bailey House. So an amazing, amazing case. And let me see if I can find one more here. Okay, we got, you'll actually hear this pretty clearly. We got a name out of this, and they were telling us their names all over the place. And this one is Carrie Gidlow. And so I'm trying to find the name, and my researcher's checking this. But let's go ahead and play it. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's a Terry Gidlow.
Oh, Terry Gidlow. You heard Terry.
I hear Terry Gidlow.
Okay. All right, I'm going to record that because, you know, I don't hear it. What's weird is I'll listen to them with really good headphones, and then I'll put them on Block Talk, and then I'll hear it clearly for the first time. You know, it just something about putting it on the air, you finally hear it differently, and it comes out. So Terry Gidlow. So anyway, that was out there. Let's play that one more time. And scroll down to that. Okay, here we go. You think it's Terry, then?
It either says Terry Gidlow or Terry Get Out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking Gidlow. I think it's a name. Because there was no Terry there unless it was this thing telling another spirit, you know, to leave. Don't know. But that said, that particular case, I thought since we had had to kind of wing it tonight, I thought I'd play a few other really good EVPs we've picked up over the past several months. We went out on a case on December 27th of last year where a bunch of us all went out from the GRI team and went out to the Marshall Gold Discovery Park area, which is about
uh-huh.
9 miles from me here. And we were in Pioneer Cemetery, which is a very famous cemetery, and it's extremely haunted. And there is a famous apparition that's seen by people driving up Cold Springs Road there, where on a dark night, this woman's glowing figure is seen in always dressed in a velvet or red-colored dress, glowing at the side of the road and beckoning people to come up to talk with her. And I can't remember the name right off, but she actually lived right across the street over in what is now the old Vineyard House, which is now which is extremely haunted but now closed. It's a private residence, and the folks there, we've tried to get in, and they won't let anybody in. But she is the person who is doing this on the side of the road, but there's plenty of other things out there that are easy to pick up. And when to set this up, we were standing probably about maybe 70, 80 feet from where she's buried, this woman that makes her appearance. And we're talking about two little boys' headstones that were placed there, going up towards the top of this hill. And when we did that, we found that we were talking about it, and when I came back and analyzed the EVP, right after that, one little boy's voice comes in, and we were the only investigators there. There were two women and two men, no little kids. So that said, I'm going to go ahead and play this, and it's a little bit long, but it sets up, and then when you hear the kid's voice, you will hear it. So here goes.
Boy, I've seen plenty of those where you know it grew into the coffin and probably absorbed the person. Their essence is all in the tree and all that. Oh my God.
Weird. Hey, check this out. This person died in 1861. I'm guessing it ran.
Well,
it's where
the last
cave. You hear that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically he's saying, Mama gave me a little one, a stone, and it's over under that tree. And it's when I heard that, I could not believe it. It was just stunning. And we definitely are going to go back to that spot and hit that again now that the weather's cleared up a bit. It was funny because I was talking with Michelle, our researcher, and she was there with us, and she had taken a picture there where she's still looking for it. She's lost the photo, and we're trying to get it, find it so we could post it on the site. And she got a picture of a little boy in that very spot. And who was not there when she took the picture? So,
right.
You know, there's plenty of evidence to indicate we have another, you know, entity there walking around. But that place is just full of EVPs. In the same place, there's within about 100 feet of that particular recording, I got this spirit talking about raviolis. I don't know what. Sometimes they just say the dangest things, you know. Anyway, so I think you'll hear this, and I'll just go ahead and play it. I'm going to try it again. Sometimes they don't play well. Well, that didn't work. No, that was not an EVP. My soundboard decided to go crazy on me just a sec. Well, actually, you know what? I'll skip that one. I've got one here where I've told the story in the past where I had a particular spirit in that particular area that I had been provoking on. And I learned from that experience not to do provoking anymore. And so there's other investigators that'll do that, but I won't anymore. And this particular EVP is that particular guy getting really ticked off at me as I was doing it, because I was really giving him a hard time. And I'll say this much. He provoked me because he told me to go to hell to start this all off. And I got kind of mad about it, and I got right back in his face. So I think we both walked away from it with a mutual respect for one another. And I did apologize, and he accepted it. But here it is where you can actually hear him clearly saying about teasing him.
I'm going to tell him to go to hell right back.
You hear that?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So he also said things like he's cruising for a bruising, and I'm going to find him, and all kinds of stuff. I'll play it one more time. Oops, and I better not hit that because the thing reset. Just a minute. Actually, I'll skip that and move on to the next one because we heard that one pretty clearly. Here's one from Coloma that says, "Yes, I'm angry."
Are you still angry?
You hear that?
Wow. Yes. Angry.
Yeah, that was actually in the old Coloma jail. There's a jailhouse when you drive through Coloma it's all a big state park now. So when you drive through there, there's this right out in the middle of this field is this jailhouse.
Yes, I know. I've been there.
Yeah, and so when you go up to that, there's one cell that's still left in there that has a desk and some old stuff in it. That's where I recorded that, and we've gotten other recordings, from the same spirit saying that he hates Sutter, John Sutter. He hates Sutter. Evidently, Sutter had him put in jail. So we picked up quite a bit out there.
We went stomping all over out there.
Yeah, we had a good time. Let's see.
That's where the famous incident happened.
Yeah, overall, let me see. I've got one more. I think I'll play. Oh, we got one here. There is one here, and I wanted to see if you can hear this.
Okay.
I played this for some other people. This is from our Pilot Hill investigation. And it was inadvertently, this was actually recorded by my mother, who was along for the investigation, and it's a spirit saying, do not touch them, and it's very violent, and I was surprised at it, so we're going to play this. You hear that?
What the heck did that say?
Well, when you hear it on the EVP, on their actual recording, which I can send you a copy of, it's very clearly saying, do not either hurt them or touch them. And it's a male energy, and it's on that side of the house where the male presences all seem to congregate. So, there were a whole bunch of people there, including my father, who was with us. And we had kind of parked off to the side. My mother wanted to come hunting with us for once, so I said, sure, why not? I'll put you on the team. And so we did that, and she didn't realize she hadn't turned the recorder off and let it run. I analyzed it and picked some of this stuff up. So evidently they were being watched the whole time they were off talking. Here's this kind of thing being said. So striking, huh?
It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you don't do as much EVP as I do. I mean, you go in and you're doing the sensitive stuff where you're picking it up and, translating directly what you see and feel. Unfortunately, I'm as sensitive myself that I don't do it the same way. I tend to kind of feel my way through and I tend to go where the action is. I just trust
I have actual stuff. Conversations with ghosts that people pick up.
Yeah. And you've got that down and good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, my friends from SHOCK, Spirit Hunters of Knoxville, I was talking to my friend Andrea on the phone, was it weekend before last? They were doing an investigation, and she calls me and gets my impressions of where they are. Now, granted, I've never been to Tennessee. I have absolutely no idea where they are. In fact, she doesn't tell me where they are. I tell them where they are, and it starts to scare her. So she put me on speakerphone, and I was telling them, I was describing the cemetery that they were in to a T, and there was actually a school teacher in front of her because they had children's voices, and I actually correctly identified these names on these tombstones of these kids, and she had snapped, I told her to snap, I know I told you this, I told her to snap a photograph right now. And she actually took
that.
A picture. Yeah, she sent me a blown-up copy of it today, and there is a school teacher standing in the photograph.
I'd like to see that photo.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, send that to me. And I'll make a point here, too, is Kat's pretty good at this stuff. We've got our links for our various pages out on the show website.
Uh-huh.
So if you ever do want to talk to her about maybe something going on in your area, and I'm just kind of volunteering this and seeing,
thank you.
Break in if you want me to stop, but Kat will talk with you and real friendly and easy to get along with, and she'll, she's able to see lots of things and she'll help. So give her a yell and talk with her. She'll illuminate some things that you may not have suspected, with regard to your particular case. And good case in point here is the woman buried on our property here, not 300 feet from where I sit in the studio, is a woman who was murdered.
That's Franny.
In the 1800s, yeah. And mm-hmm. she is buried there. And we did an EVP session, my mother and I, and we actually located the exact spot with her telling us, you know, the spirit telling us where she was. Mm-hmm. And we're going to actually do some probing around to see what we can do to help deal, you know, help her, because she obviously wants something from us, and we think she wants a proper burial.
She does.
So, yeah, so we're going to be looking into that. But Kat, you know, helped with that, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, she can help you too. So mm-hmm. definitely give her a yell. And for those of you who want a bunch of other type investigators to come out, if you're in our area, you know, out here in Northern California or into Nevada, we've got quite a year planned for GRI. We're going to be going all over the place, and our caseloads are already pretty well set in stone for the most part. Although, you know, emergencies and different things that might come up, we may alter that around. And if the unique case falls in our lap, we'll probably hit it. But we're going to be doing things like go out to Alcatraz, do some ghost towns throughout the West, and come back with some really neat stuff. So we're moving.
Well, we're actually going to the Shanley, you and I.
Yeah, we're going to be doing the Shanley hopefully in July, but I am paying a big, big, big check to Uncle Sam, and it's the toy buying is off for a while, so I'm going to be saving and scrimping to do that. So we're thinking July would be about the time frame for that.
Well, if you would like to go, I will get your plane ticket for you.
Okay, well, we'll just hang on that for right now. But anyway, we're getting into the 3 minutes to the end of the show. And, oh, my God, Carla. Carla, guess what? I want to tell you something. So what we've done is next week, two-hour show. Spirits say we're getting rough. The shiny. Anyway, never mind. I can't make it.
You know, I am going to make a song for that and report it on next week's show. I am going to sing a song about ghost hunting done to the tune of Gilligan's Island. I promise.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Let's see. I'm going to do, you know, something. I got into a creative mood yesterday, and so with 2 minutes remaining, you know, we're at 9:27:07, okay. Yeah, we're coming up on the end of the show here, so I'm just going to go ahead and talk about next week. We're going to be dealing with some UFO discussions.
That's right.
And I've got my own mother is going to be interviewed on the show, although she will not be live. She's scared of the radio. So we're going to play some tapes of her describing her sighting back in the 1950s. And I'm going to be talking about some of the activities and sites that, you know, sightings that happened in and around our area, which I'm actually going to go out and take a look at out near Lincoln, California. And, you know, we'll, Kat and I will be talking UFOs, and she'll talk about some of her experiences. So we got that coming up. And I'm going to go ahead and play this overly dramatic closer. And let's see what. While I'm hitting that set, Kat, could you do the shout out for everybody that's in there in the chat rooms?
Give a shout out to my friend Carla L. Pooh and my good friend Southern Lisa, who's new to our GRI chat rooms. I'd like to welcome you and hope that you come back next week for another installment of Ghost Rider Investigations. And we also have six users in the other chat room. And, well, we did. I guess everybody's gone. So it's just you, me, Lisa, and Carla. And
okay.
I'd also like to give a special shout-out to www.iamhaunted.com. It's I am on staff on I Am Haunted, and it's a... great website. If you'd like to go, you can sign up for free and check it out. That's
okay.
Where all the ghost hunters hang out.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and kick off the end show leader here, and it'll probably cut off on you, but if you listen to the archives later, you'll pick up the whole thing. Here we go.
That's right.
Good night. Good night, folks. Thanks for being on.
Good night.
And so ends another edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. Tune in again in another week.
when we explore the world of the paranormal, to explore new possibilities, to try to see a little bit deeper than we've seen before. And so join your hosts, John Almada and Kat Lang, as we explore the lives of those who have passed and whose echoes we pick up on EVP recordings, or as we tour places that they once lived. Just remember that when you ghost hunt, well, these were real people. And when you go out there with your gear to catch a little sound of them, a little scrap of them, be prepared to be changed by the experience. Be prepared to develop a relationship with a spirit from the long dead past. And when that happens, don't be surprised. Do as I do. Take them gifts. Treat them with respect. And maybe, just maybe, they'll return the favor and be there when you need them. So this is Ghost Rider Paranormal signing off. See you again in a week. And I'll just take a moment to thank Kat, and also to say this is a historic episode for us because we actually did the work with Skype for the first time on a proper broadcast console.
That's right.
So anyway.
And I believe this is actually show number 20.
Yeah, I think we're really starting to get our
Cannot believe we've been at this for 20 weeks, John. I must say that out of anybody in this entire galaxy, there is nobody else I would rather do this show with than with you.
Well, thank you. And you know what? It's the same same feeling goes here. You're the best co-host that I could ever find. So
you know, I'm just up to the challenge every week, John.
Well, you know, I am going to say this. We're going to go ahead and get the Depends Hour special going for Carla next week. So if she happens to listen to the archive of this, I hope she kind of gets a laugh out of this. Oh, yes, goodness gracious, we have to get the Depends one.
Oh, we have to plot and plan, that's it.
Oh, Carla, we've got the
Depends. Oh, Carla.
So anyway, I'm kind of kicking this off. I'm kind of not stopping the show because I just don't feel like it right now. You know,
I don't feel like stopping.
No, you know what? I mean, I think it was fun doing the EVPs and kind of going back and forth about that. And it's worth, you know, it's been worth all the work. And I know you were wanting to do the test shows with me and stuff, but I was just flying on the technology trying to get this all worked. And some of the things that we had to do, I had to order some special USB connectors to hook into our broadcast computer because we were getting hums. And, you know, remember that one show I did where everything was floating in and out?
Yeah.
So what I did is I ordered what's called a Behringer U-Control connector, a USB to audio connector,
uh-huh.
Tied into my soundboard. I just ordered another one today because it's so good. I mean, that's what's making this whole show possible. So, you know, a lot, I was just focused so hard on just getting the show right. You know, I know you wanted to be on some of these testings, and I'm going, no, I got to focus, man. I'm just doing physics right now. But what I'd like to do is do some more exploratory stuff here in the coming week where you and I'll do an impromptu, not test show. We'll actually do a live, we'll just go ahead and do a surprise live show.
Okay.
And maybe tell Carla that we'll be on with the special All Depends All the Time Hour. And maybe do that on like a Wednesday or something right after Ghost Hunters. And we'll critique all the Ghost Hunters stuff that I know you like to do. So, you know, and go forward from there. But, yeah, it's really great to have this this studio actually functioning for the first time. I'm actually using the studio mic and have a proper set of headsets on. And eventually, I mean, this will all be filled with egg crate and things to put in to properly do the acoustics in the room and all that. But that's a different story. Anyway, what are you going to be doing in the coming week as far as are you going to do any more casework?
Yeah, I've actually the gas station that I get gas at, the Chevron down by where I work at, one of the gals that works there, I go in there and we just kind of shoot the breeze. And she actually last week when I stopped in to get some juice and some protein bars for work, she had mentioned to me that they actually have a creepy basement and there actually is something down there. And I'm like, well, I'll go down there. It doesn't bother me. Her and her roommates have started to notice some escalating activity, so I gave them one of my business cards. And then Tuesday I went back in, and one of their regular customers came in, and they were just kind of talking about ghosts. And he actually has a violent-type sinister presence at his house. So I've actually got two cases going so far.
Dang.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's getting to the point where when you go to do these and you get through them and done with them, let's do a show about your cases.
Okay.
Let's do, I'll take a second, fill in, you tell about all the cases and I'll ask the questions and, we'll do it that way. Cause I'd like to hear what you run into. And one thing I'll ask, though, is can you take an EVP recorder with you and just see what you pick up?
Yeah.
I
can take three or four of them, and I just set them up in different parts of the room, kind of pre-stage, and then I just walk through the house.
I call them drop recorders. I tend to do the same thing. I carry one with me all the time, and then I'll set others out. As a matter of fact, the Pilot Hill case, I accidentally forgot and left one. So I'm going to be going back to that area and pick that up here in the coming week, and hopefully I got something on it because the room I was in was extremely active. That was, as a matter of fact, that room was right over the top of the shop, and
mm-hmm.
both rooms are just the hottest zones in the whole place. It was insane.
You have you actually have a portal that's running out of the ground. It's actually coming from the earth. It's actually riding up through that house.
Well, and you've never been there, and I'll tell you, you're exactly right, because the way the house architecture is constructed is it's two overlapping circles. And I thought, when I saw that, metaphysically, I looked at it and I went, oh, no, this is messed up.
That's not good news. I hate to say it, but that's not good news.
I did not like it at all. And what was weird is they sleep in that part of the house. And their daughter evidently was very uncomfortable there and actually ran out of her room in the other octagon and would not stay there. And after investigating it, I understand why. And it's an extremely interesting place. And by the way, I have permission to talk about it. But we're not naming names or anything. It's just the basics
right.
of the case. But the bottom line you go in there, you feel it, and you feel it strong, and it's powerful. And there are apparitions, there are smells, there are touching incidents. There's temperature changes.
You know why, don't you, John?
The works. Well, and here's the kicker: that particular hill that they're on, at the very crest of the hill they're on, is the mother lode. It is the mother lode. It is the place where they think the gold is all coming from as it goes down towards the Coloma Gold Rush area. It's actually, they've traced that to, that was an upwelling from a volcano. They're on top of it. They're on top of the upwelling of an old volcano that never quite broke the surface, and yet there's all this gold that came up with it. And so this thing is sitting right at the top of it, and here they've constructed this thing with two overlapping circles. Go figure.
There's a house out here that's actually shaped like a soccer ball. And, the problem with that house it's a problem with, okay, if you take a ring, it's a continuous circle. There's no break in it. So if you take a portal, as is the case with the soccer ball-shaped house, the portals don't run straight out. They run a circle around the house. And they can get quite large. So if you have a house that's got two circulars and they're even touching remotely, the spirits have free roam and they can get in, and they can get stronger. And, you know, I always tell clients when I run into portals that it's not what's in your house now. It's what's coming.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm looking at very carefully. And, you know, these people are living in this thing, and there's two of them, and they're getting up there in their years. And so they're kind of very eclectic, if you will, and they designed this thing sort of with this, you know, it just sort of fits their personalities. But I think it's where they put it that really kind of set this all off. And what was strange is when, you know, Michelle Cook and I went out and did the outside investigation, and we walked around out there. It was our first time working together. She had come over from another group. Real neat gal. Just got divorced. The poor thing. She's having a hell of a time. But she's going around with me, and we're hearing things walking out next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And she freaked out. We had one explainable incident where the wind came up and was blowing a tarp out there. And I turned around and I walked towards it. And she looked at me and goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm walking to it." And I said, "Don't mistake this for courage. I'm scared, but I'm walking to it. I'm going to be an investigator." So I walked up to it, and then I started to laugh because here it was. It was this thing, you know, it was this big tarp. I made her come down and look at it, and she started to laugh. She said, "I didn't know what you were up to." I said, "I was just going to, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as an investigator." But we walked back to where we were on the side. We actually walked back on, and this is on the road leading up to this dual circular place. We walked back up, and I suddenly diverted off to the left and walked into a clear area. And her and I stood there and did some EVP work, and she started sensing presences all around us, and we were hearing footsteps walking all around us, and it was a very, very eerie experience. And I still have yet to do the EVP analysis there, but I'm sure I got something. So
you
know, there's a lot of evidence left there.
You were standing in the middle of a sacred circle. There's a sacred circle out there.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, it was oddly enough, that's how it was. It was.
Really? Because I can feel that very strongly. I'd very much like to go to this place.
Yeah, it's an extremely. The energy on that hill, I can't even begin to tell you.
It's because it doesn't end. It doesn't have an end. It keeps getting stronger because there's nothing holding it. I mean, there's no break in it.
Yeah, and.
If you had a big bowl and you put a whole bunch of the liquid whipped cream in it, and you turn the beaters on full blast, it's going to beat that stuff into a frenzy, and it's not going to stop because there's nothing to shut it off.
Yeah, it's like an engine is what you're talking
about. So,
That would be a good analogy. I mean, it just was such... The minute you drive in there, everybody comments about the odd feel there. And here's the kicker. We went there for their 50th wedding anniversary last year, and my father, you know, came along, and we had the whole family. And we all gathered in the room where that woman, CVP, was picked up with the, you know, help me. And what happened was we went ahead and, you know, did the party in there. No one would go into the side of the house where we had all the activity with the men. There were 50 people in the house, and instinctively, no one would go past the living room. And when I talked to the owner later about it, she was telling me, she goes, "I just couldn't understand why anybody wouldn't go by there." And I looked at her and said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "It's yeah, you can feel it. I said, people instinctively are not going to go there. They feel this. They sense the presence is there. Even if they're not aware of it consciously, they know there's something wrong there. She finally had to agree.
You have a human sacrifice there. Somebody sacrificed a child. A child was ripped out of its mother's arms and sacrificed. That's part of that negative energy. I can see it, and I don't like to see things like that, but I can see it.
Well, the entire area was just rife with gold mining activity.
What bad?
And there was also a series of Indian murders.
Mm-hmm.
And Indian attacks, both settler attacking Indian attacks.
Can see settler. Those too.
Those were all in that general vicinity, and so there's just a ton of strange things that go on there. We've got stuff that goes on here that's weird, but that place eclipses what I'm on top of.
You don't have
mile,
stuff
you know?
On. You have stuff on your property that's almost comical. It's a lot of it's sad. I mean, a lot of it's sad, but some of it's actually kind of. Your property's easy to reason with.
Yeah, well, it's funny because what's been happening. Here's a new wrinkle that's been going on, by the way. Here in the studio, when I'm doing work on things, all of a sudden I'll get knocking on the wall. Just
that's Wayne and James.
Yeah, it's been going. It's been actually going on more and more. I mean, I'm getting little knocks, and I just kind of look and go, "Yeah, guys."
I was there when it happened.
Yeah, I remember that. But now it's been going on. You know, that at least twice a day, when I'm in here working on stuff, they knock, and then I go,
"Oh, they're
yeah,
getting bolder."
Yeah, they're getting bolder, you know, but the house incursions have stopped. You know, we haven't had anything going on in the house, and, you know, it's been pretty quiet. But,
good.
Yeah, I don't know. But I've got the four cases coming up, just like you have the two. We've got the four cases. We've got the hardware store, two bookstores, and one private residence that are on the books. So I've got some phone calls to make there and get those started. As a matter of fact, I mean, when we get to the for the overnighter, bookstore case where I'm going to spend the night in this place. I'll give you a call and have
you
kind of
read
it.
If you need help, let me know. I'll fly down.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty interesting case. You remember that there was
a bookstore. Is that the
Zach? Well, the bookstore you and I stood in front of where that woman said, here.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, it's the next one over where I commented. It was in front of that other bookstore, and I won't say the name of it. But I said something about their ghosts never sleeping, and the EVP responded, "You know, we never sleep."
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I played that for the owners, and that's what I found is we took all those EVPs you and I did, and I walked into the stores that were affected, and played these things and got offers. Well, you can come investigate here, no problem. So found a great new technique is, you know, okay, you want to investigate a place, do some EVPs outside and then walk in and say, hey,
sure.
Anyway, the hardware store was most interesting. It turns out the owner of the hardware store is very aware, and the hardware store is actually has ghosts in it that like to untie people's shoes, especially pretty young ladies. And the other trick is that if they don't like where the living people put things in the store, the next day they come in and the store's been rearranged. I'm not kidding you. It actually
would be neat to set up some cameras up above and let them run all night.
Yeah, well, I'm going to talk with the owner about it. I got to go back up there, and I may pop up that way tomorrow to start doing some of the arrangements, and I'm going to go see my friends at the bookstore and kind of get the first dates all figured out. And that's something I'd like to do. I'm not sure when the hardware store is going to take place, but I'm looking at either late April or into early May.
Okay.
We're going to give that a shot, but it's just amazing. You walk into that hardware store, and it's amazingly haunted. I mean, you can feel it. And it's a very friendly haunt, though. And there was one EVP where you and I were standing in front of that store that I picked up that said the guy was calling himself Old Stan.
Right.
So I repeated the name back to this owner, and she said, well, I never heard that one before, but that sounds about right. she was a sensitive herself, from what I can tell. And she just said, that sounds about right. She goes, I'll look into the past and see if we can find something about that. And I'm also going to talk to Michelle about it to check into. But, wow, I mean, we scored really good with – that was a real productive thing we did with that street investigation. So just wanted
sure.
to thank you for being along on that.
Well, it's okay. The street investigation. It's also who does the street investigation. So,
yeah, I think that you know, I seem to attract the EVPs just like you do, and I think the two of us just really kicked it into high gear.
It'd be cool if me and you could be in that hardware store all night long, just me and you.
Yeah, it's gonna. I think it's gonna be a multiple multiple investigator thing because just getting the cameras and you know the logistics of it are gonna be. I'd say at least three.
Well, all these places are so close together too. I mean.
Yeah, potentially the owner there too. I'm still surprised about the bookstore that we're gonna get the keys to it and just told do what you want. So I'm gonna be in there read books all night. Oh, cool! I can read all night for free.
I know you. It's a gold mine.
It truly is a gold mine. But Carry House is another one. We're going to probably go in and play some of the EVPs we picked up and just let them know, hey, we'd like to do a live broadcast from there. And I'm thinking of not trying to do cameras. Remember that one we saw where that guy was a little bit kind of off the wall? Did his broadcast? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I was thinking, I ordered another one of those Behringer U controls, and that my laptop, I can tie that into the laptop and go out there and then do a set up a number of audio monitors and try to work it so that we do some EVPs right there on site and then play them immediately. So we go, two to three investigators go out. Do EVPs and I got to play in some kind of rotation where we can start playing evidence and play it live and do maybe a 2-hour show there, which would be kind of fun to do. So I'd have to work the logistics out, but I'm looking at stuff like that, stuff that people just don't ordinarily do. The camera deal, it's just, there's too much work involved in it, I think, when you're trying to do those kinds of broadcasts, unless you really have a lot of crew. But an audio-only broadcast with the right gear and miniaturization that we have available, we could do that.
Right.
So, I know all the places to hit, so, it'd be great to just do that. Maybe I would do one webcam pointed over at the hangman's tree.
Does it occur to you now, after those EVPs were done, where it says, I'm here. Does it occur to you that perhaps that woman's voice was coming out of that open window behind our back at the hangman?
Well, I don't know. It struck me that I really thought it was the bookstore.
Because it was after that we saw the light in the window.
Well, I brought up, I said something about it. Wouldn't it be neat if they did a light in the window and then it
That freaked me out.
Yeah, it did me too. I mean, that's
so. So when I grabbed you, I said, "John, look, look."
Yeah,
right,
I was like, "Well, I'll shaggy or something you don't see every day."
If somebody was sitting up there, let's just say there was like a transient up there.
Yeah.
There's no way in God's green earth that anybody heard you say it would be cool if there was a light in that window.
No, I mean, we were down on the street and talking in low, hushed tones like
we
were.
So that's like way out of the scope of coincidence, way out
but
of the
you,
scope of coincidence.
Yeah, and it was, but the spirit world, I don't put much past, they're able to react pretty instantly to things in a reasonable, proximity to an investigator, and I do think that they know darn well that we're coming. I think they know everything about us when we get there, and I think they're inclined to do whatever they're going to do. They're controlling the game in a lot of ways. And we just, the only thing we have is our intent and our willingness to keep investigating. It's on our side. But I do, I honestly, on that particular EVP, though, I really think it was a woman inside the bookstore or near the bookstore. And when I played that for those folks, they were new owners there. They knew some of the history of their place. It was because that bookstore is repeatedly haunted, and they changed the name of the bookstore and it now when you go in there, it feels a little different. But when I approached them and said I'd like to play this for you, they were looking real skeptical at me. And then I played it, and the wife looked kind of stricken, didn't know what to think. And the husband, it was a husband-wife team running it. I said, well, I'd like to come back, maybe do a day investigation if you guys wouldn't mind. And because you could tell they were on the real sitting on the fence with it. And then they started telling us about some of the stuff that they were aware of, and then opened up a bit. And so they've had other investigators who said they'd show up or call back and never did. And so I, you know, I'm making a point to get back there and do a day investigation with probably maximum 2 to 3 people total. Go in and just spend 2 hours in there and then get out,
right,
and come back and do a reveal. And as a matter of fact, we are going to be doing reveals. So that's another new part of the investigations we're doing, is we're definitely going to work on getting this evidence cranked out. And then go back and play these things out for people and give them our professional opinion. So matter of fact, in this private case, that's happening in about another week. We're going to go out and play all the all the evidence, and I've got some video evidence, which was surprising. We picked up some video anomalies down in the down in the shop area,
mm-hmm,
which were surprising as hell. So I still can't explain it, and I'm not going to do is call it even paranormal. I'm just going to say it's unusual and let them decide, because I don't have the equipment to, the expertise yet video wise to say yay or nay on these things, but they don't look like dust to me. This kind of had the wispy smoke, kind of look to it. So, a lot going on. I mean, GRI is making some real headway in a lot of areas.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I mean, we're, the investments in the gear and all the, the heartfelt sincerity of it all, I think it's starting to actually bear some fruit. And
sure.
We'll see some great things out of it. And, I mean, you being the northernmost post of GRI now. up
I'm
there
what?
In Puyallup. You're the northernmost post of GRI. You're in the northern territory.
I'm the northernmost post of GRI.
Well, you're going to do your cases here then in the next, week or two or three?
People tell me all this stuff is wrong with their houses and this and that and blah, blah. And, whether they call me or not, it's always a crapshoot. I mean,
That's the weird part of this stuff, is people get kind of, I won't say flaky, but it's a real, it's just like you say, it's a crapshoot.
People, if you weren't a ghost hunter and you didn't possess some of the skills that you have, and something was really kind of starting to freak you out in your house, you might in a momentary lapse of reason go to somebody that you know and say, you're going to think I'm crazy, but blah, 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 blah. And that person would look at you and go, well, no, you're not crazy. We'd like to come and investigate it. Well, perhaps you think that by us coming to investigate your house, it's going to stir up more. And come crunch time, people just back out of it and think, well, I can live with what I got. I don't want it to get any worse. And so there you stand on the opposite side of the fence from this person, because you're not going to make it worse, and you can't convince them that you're not.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So,
hey,
I've had probably 100 people talk a good game to me, and I tell everybody the exact same thing. Look, here's my business card. If you want me to come out and check it out for you and at least give you the peace of mind in knowing that it's not going to hurt you, I can certainly do that. I've been interviewed by Fox 3 times. I have a portfolio a mile long. Am I interested in doing a show? Not really. Because I'm part of the fray of people that critique these shows. I saw that live Halloween show when Jason and Grant faked that jacket pull.
Yeah.
I saw it. Those guys went to, it's the place they went to, and it's the crapshoot that they go through. But it's not an investigation. It's a show where they say, stop, okay, walk, okay, stop, get the camera angle right, okay, go. It's not an investigation. It's a made-for-TV movie is what it is.
Yeah, and that's,
so they were getting no evidence whatsoever. I sat right here and watched the whole thing, and I thought they're not getting shit.
Well, I knew
they're not getting anything.
That's what happens when you do a live thing.
Yeah,
like
I don't want anything to do
Well, hey, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to try an experiment here. Since you're here with me, and we're just kind of continuing on.
Yeah.
I'm going to try. I've got a secondary computer here to do music straight through the soundboard. Would you be willing to do a little experiment? And I'll take 2 minutes to do some personal needs, and I'll be right back. And I'll just go ahead and kick this on and see how it goes.
Okay.
Okay, hang tough. Here goes. Okay, we're back. You still
yes.
there?
Yeah.
How did that sound?
It sounded really like distorted and tinny.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm going to wait and see what happens when we play it on when the show archive gets all finally written out. And
are you either running too much juice or not enough?
Well, bottom line is I've got to learn the levels, and when I get that all down, I've got a bunch of those little stick-on dots for the mixer, so I'm going to stick those on and kind of have it all written down in procedures. I've got a book that I've started, you know, setting up where all the different mic levels and for what situations, what settings to do. So, you know, it gets real technical, but, you know, I've got to try this stuff out. I mean, so anyway, I've got my little Tweety Bird computer doing the audio input to the deck. And, you know, actually, I mean, if you just want to play with that just a second, I'll just kick that on. Come on. This thing is,
and who named that
hear?
Thing? I did.
Well, yeah. Can you hear it in the background right now? I'm not sure. How about that?
Yes, I can hear it.
How's that sound?
It's humming.
It's humming.
Humming?
Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on. What about now?
I can hear the music a little bit. It fades in and out.
Okay, that's kind of what I wanted to know. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and stop that. All right, so I'll just switch that out. So I sound better now, right?
Yeah, you sound fine. You've always sounded fine.
Okay. Well, that's just a good experiment, and we'll play that later. Well, anyway, hey, you know what? It's getting late, and I'm going to head back up and jump on the laptop up there and download this show and take a listen to it. So, hey, it's been great. you know. And I think I was feeling really bad about last week. I did not want to do this show with the trees that are above us, especially with the winds that were blowing. I've got to get up there and cut a bunch of these trees away from the studio because they're like ready to fall on top of us.
Oh, that one tree is just ready to go.
I know. So I've got the one that's laying over in the front, which I'll take out, which is easy. But the rest of them, I'm going to be doing surgery on for the next about 4 weeks. So I'm going to cut a bunch of them back, and my father's going to go completely, you know, gaga when he sees
this. Just tell him it's because he's a woman.
Yeah, I'll tell him that, and I'll tell him you said that, and he'll be extremely happy.
Oh,
but hey, you know, yeah. But I think it's going to be great. I mean, this is a good setup, and I think we had a good show tonight. So.
Well, I appreciate you plugging me too. That I don't know. I do what I do when I do what I do when I do what I do what I do. And talking to Andrea down in Shock down in Tennessee, I mean, I scare her. Her entire group, they're just blown away.
Well, you know, it would be kind of neat to set up a future show maybe out into June with Shock, have them on, and maybe talk about some of their cases and some of the stuff you've been
around. Well, they're on
the
Para-X radio.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, we could probably hook them up and, kind of do a joint deal where we talk about each other's shows and, compare cases and things and go forward from there. Matter of fact, you know, come to think of it, since we're still, quote, on the air, we've got the April 2nd show, which I forgot to plug. That's going to be about 10 o'clock in the morning, which you were right, and thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, the Spiritual Quilt Show, right.
Yeah, Spiritual Quilt, which is Kathy from CJEVP, is running her own little show, just like we are. And she's got another friend of hers that works that with her. And they came and invited us to be on. It's going to be 10 o'clock in the morning on Thursday.
Right.
So I'm going to be doing a creative work with calling in and saying, well, I'm going to have to work some extra hours to come in about maybe 11:30 to work so I can do this show, you know. So I'll be in the studio and just call it in and work it from the board there. And
if you want to, if you're going to be calling in to work, would you like to do an hour test show before we do the Quentin show, the Spiritual Quilt show?
Yeah, it'd probably be a good time is just go ahead and do that about probably about 8:30. Grab a cup of coffee, come on out here and fire up the studio, and then do that show, and then we'll go ahead and do Spiritual Quilt. I have no idea what they're going to ask me, so I'm kind of going to put together, just like we do for our regular shows, show notes, and I'll grab some case files and stuff. And if you've got any evidence that you want to pop up our way, definitely get it to me so that we can upload it to the show archives and stuff.
Right.
And we can play it with people. And then go forward from there. I'll email Kathy and then copy you, and then we'll go forward from there and see what we pick up from them, what they want to talk about. But I've made some pretty good friends there. Matter of fact, not only Kathy from Spiritual Quilt, but she does all the. She's the sidekick on the CJEVP with Christine there on that particular show. And Christine is going to be our special guest sometime in April.
Okay.
So I think it could be fourth week of April. She just moved from Texas up to, British Columbia.
Right.
And I don't know what, and her show is still off the air. She's been off for, 3 weeks now, and everybody's missing her. And she pops in and out occasionally on the CJ chat. Website. You can just Google that for those of you who are listening. But Christine's got an awesome, top of the line, forum that's just extremely active, and it's a great place to meet other people who are doing EVP work. And if you're just getting started and you need a lot of camaraderie, that's the place to go. And she does an excellent web, blog talk show. And I don't know if you've ever heard it, but she's just a really, really great interviewer, knows her stuff, and brings the best out in people. So a good plug for her show is, and she's on, I believe, Thursdays I think it's either 5 or 6 o'clock at night on Thursdays. And so it's real difficult for me to pick her, to actually come listen to her live. I've done it once. Just happened to be home at the time. But you can download her shows, and I do that. I podcast them, and I listen to them on the way to work, and I'm laughing the whole way. So, but she does some great, great stuff there and has some neat guests. So anyway, she's agreed to be on our show, and you know, you and I are going to be interviewing her. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, people like our show, too.
Yeah, I think we've got our own little audience that's you know, starting to build up. But you know, we didn't have a lot today that were in the chat room, but I think we probably did. When I do the metrics, I'll bet you anything we probably got 30 to 40. And we're getting that following, and you know, and every one of them, boy, I appreciate. You know, I know you do too. It's yeah, they're really neat people out there that we're meeting, and you know, forming some good connections. And I'd love to you know, hear from every one of them, and you know, have them say what they think, and you know, give thanks back to them in person. And so I'll be looking out there to see who popped in, and maybe left a comment, and definitely say hi to them. Yeah, it's been a long night. Took all day. I'll you know, I'm kind of going on because I just don't want to get off tonight. I just feel the need to talk.
But, okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was just horrified, though. I got in this morning and fired up the studio and warmed it up and came out, and I thought, I'll just run some tests. And I did the test show, and it went well. And then right after that, the network just went to total hell.
It just tanked.
Oh, it was horrible. And I'm going, you know, I climbed up in the attic. I'm looking around going, what could be causing this, you know? Went back, and I went back down, and I went around into the went into the actual source point where my Comcast ties in up at the main house, in the ranch house, unplugged everything, replugged everything, was trying everything, and I finally went, you know what, maybe I just need to wait. And that's when, you know, when I finally was talking with you, I finally started looking, and everything just sort of came back. And so I'm thinking that somebody was probably in this vicinity, was doing some massive, massive file transfer or something.
That's what I was thinking. And, you know, I mean, when you run a massive site, you know it and I know it, because I've run some pretty big sites. You have to update your servers. You have to have pruning in there. You have to give and take. It's a constant, it's an ongoing process. And if you don't do that, you can really clog up your system rather quickly.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I think is going on, is there was something going on, you know, load-wise on this particular part of the internet that, you know, out here in Shingle Springs, and it just tore the heck out of things. But I kind of had a feeling it might improve, and I was ready to go back to the telephone and go back to the old way of doing things, and thank God we've got, you know, more than one way to broadcast here, so... You know, no matter what, we'll get the show on the air. But I really, really, really wanted to do what we're doing right now, which is I'm on the air with a really quality sounding soundboard, which when we play the show back, you know, you're going to hear that quality in there. And that's the stuff we really want. The areas we'll focus on next, I mean, you know, like this test we just did, is playing EVPs right here out of the studio, not having to upload every single EVP, which is just a ton of work. You know, I don't want to have to do that. I want to play them off the GRI website or off somebody else's website just directly, and I just tie them to the board and off we go. So we'll be playing around with that and trying some things. As a matter of fact, just for ducks, since I just mentioned that, we've got a couple of minutes left. What are you game for this? I'm sure you are. Say yes. Yes, I'm
always game
for this,
John.
All right, so I'm going to run over here then. And going to, all right, here's some EVPs. Oh, here's the one from, here's the case where you and I were doing that stuff. Diamond Springs Cemetery, remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see.
We got a lot of EVPs out of that.
That place was insane. I mean, you know, we did a bunch.
You know, the most shocking one to me was when we went down by that that Montessori school.
Yeah, matter of fact, I've got that here. Let me go ahead and pop up that. Yeah, let me pop up there.
Did you get any EVPs when we had lunch at that Diamond Springs Hotel?
Yeah, we did. We got them on the outside.
Not on the inside?
No, the that inside was just too loud. There was just
I was kind of wondering.
Stuff, but
but Amy was sure nice, you know.
Here we go. We got the Buckeye. Here's one that says "Let's play her." So I'm going to go ahead and switch back in. And it seems like the EVPs do play well here. Let me go ahead and disconnect that, and let's try it. Whoops. All right, that's too short. Let's try this one. Could you hear that?
Actually, you know what? I did not. Can you play it again? You know what's weird about that EVP is that it kind of blends right in with the crickets.
Yeah, and
or the frogs, I'm sorry.
It says he liked Mary Lou, and you can hear it pretty clearly. That's why I'm trying
I heard
to
that, play. And then I heard the frogs, and I thought, oh, that's clever.
All right, here's another one. Let's play her MP3, and then this might be the longer version. You heard that?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Interesting.
So, see, this is actually the music. Trying to play music through this soundboard from this computer is one thing. It's not that great, but we can do the EVPs, and they come through pretty well. You know, it sounds to me like we're actually making progress now. Let's go ahead and try. Here, this is one. Hear that? I'm Henny.
I'm Henny, yeah.
I'm Henny or I'm Penny?
I'm getting a penny.
Yeah.
It says either I'm Penny or oh, Penny.
Here,
oh, Penny.
Let's listen in. Here we go. You know, I'm thinking it's Penny.
It either says oh, Penny or okay.
Well, whatever it is, I'll tell you what, the Buckeye Elementary School, right across from there is that town Buckeye was there next to Shingle Springs. It actually predated Shingle Springs, and it used to be, shall we say, a place for ladies of the night and of loose morals. Did their business there along with a general store and things like that. And there was a cemetery right there at the place you and I parked. And that was raised over and small school, a preschool was put in. And so this is hallowed ground that was basically wiped out. And I'm just not surprised at all that we're picking up so much stuff there. And here's another one. It says, I'm Reed. You heard that?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that before, too.
Heard again. And here's one that says, kill the boy.
Does it say kill the boy or cute little boy?
Maybe you're right, cute little boy.
I think it says cute little boy.
Well, interesting. But, you know, they... And that's funny. They keep using that same term all through the area. I keep getting that in different parts of Shingle Springs.
Was that a common, I know back in the early 1800s, just like there is now, there's phrases that were coined. And maybe cute little boy or... Maybe what you're capturing is residual, where there's people walking down the street and somebody sees somebody's little kid and says, cute little boy.
I think you could be right. I mean, it could be very well that.
You got a lot of residual down there.
Yeah. All I know is we've got just so much evidence that it's hard to say what's active and what's residual anymore. I mean,
okay, well, what
I'm
you
just
need
swimming
to do.
It. I mean, this area is so haunted; it's just like an ocean. I mean, you know, I don't even have to try hardly. I just get it.
You know what I did in what I did for Seattle is I actually made a grid. I took a simple map of Seattle and I downsized it to fit my needs. And I just marked key buildings and I put them in a grid because I have a theory about Seattle. And I'm wondering, I was going to bring this up to you when I was down there, but I forgot. My theory with where you live is the same as with Seattle. Is it possible that this activity is continuing from place to place to place? And if it is, you can capture it from this end to this end and run it as a continuous feed to where you'll get an actual entire conversation from a lady going to the store. She goes here. She goes here. She stops by the mill. You have the same voice. She continues down the road. That's what we're trying to figure out in Seattle.
I think it would be interesting to form some kind of a grid where you can track.
I can make you a grid just like I made one of Seattle.
Well, I mean, I'm talking some sort of sensor grid where you throw up a containment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
that's what we do in Seattle. That's what we're doing in Seattle, exactly.
Yeah, and then you actually get a target track on what this thing is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Barry, of all people, on Ghost Hunters International, is doing similar type things. He's real innovative, and he got into the whole thing with the multi-spectrum camera, which he's using to really get the big picture and see where, and really look out and see where these things are coming from. And they're taking very wide angle shots now. They're not just focusing on one little area. They're looking at the area, you know. And I think that's, again, that's, you know, since this is a future show, I think that's a lot of what's going to happen. You're going to see the scope widen, so people see more of what's happening and can draw the, you know, connect the dots. So it just makes sense. But, hey, you know what? We're coming up on the two-hour mark. This thing's going to get cut off. So that said, I am going to go ahead and call it because my voice is starting to run out.
Okay.
So, hey, I had a great time. I hope you did, too.
I always have a great time.
Okay. Well, that said, I'm going to try at least playing some music and to kind of close things out. And then we'll call it after about 2 minutes. We'll just let this thing play out. And then I'll wish you a good night. And I'll pop in on the mail later and give you a yell, okay?
Okay.
All right. So with that, we finally end the show after all this talk and stuff that we've done. And we'll be back. You'll see us sometime in the middle of next week,
right?
And we'll have some fun. And we'll be also on the Spiritual Quilt Show on Blog Talk. So, anyway,
April 2nd.
Thank you, everyone. Yep, April 2nd, 10 a.m. Pacific.
Great.
And we'll be on probably I'll schedule for 8:30. I'll go ahead and put it in the schedule tonight.
Okay.
And set that up, and then we'll come up with a topic and do something fun. Okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm going to go ahead and switch out the mic, and if you want to just go ahead and hang up or whenever you want, I'll just play it out from here, okay?
Okay.
Talk with you later, Kat.
All right.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
The girl in the dream.